There is no one more qualified to give us insight into the Packers' current kicking conundrum than this guy. He also happened to enter the Packers Hall of Fame with Tausch and is one of my favorite guys I've ever covered, which I know Tausch loves it when I mention that. Through 30 years, that's a lot of guys. Joining us now on the Yuengling guest hotline, which really in this case should be the Legends hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, now in Wisconsin. 197 years they've been around, and now they're in Wisconsin. DG Yuengling and Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. They don't get any better than this guy, the former leading scorer in Packers history. It's Ryan Longwell on Wilde and Tausch. Ryan, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Excellent. How are you guys?
Outstanding.
You golfing today?
I am.
Where are you at?
I try, great. You know, we're here in Orlando.
Okay.
I'll golf at the club. You know, whether it's
Phil Mickelson with you, or is he not there?
He's preoccupied, as it were.
So you're out. You're getting AT. You got to get AT did. You're going with Reese. What do we got going today?
So yeah. So Reese is up in Atlanta. We're in Orlando. You know, the family is like growing, expanding, all that stuff. So Shay, our daughter, got married in January. Reese is engaged to get married next year. Shay and her husband are in Orlando also, in the tennis industry, which she did in college, and then. Yeah, Reese and his fiance are up in Atlanta. And then, we're in Orlando. I try to golf 3 or 4 mornings a week. I usually tee off at 8 a.m. I usually am back at the house by 9:30 or 9:40, and that's how we do it.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Before we get into kicking and everything else, how tough was the transition when your kids left the house?
Ugh.
I say – it was very, very odd because we dropped Reese off at Georgia Tech, and this was pre-COVID. And then, you know, we had kind of like come to grips with it. And then next thing you know, COVID hits, Georgia Tech shuts down, and he's back home. So we kind of had to go through it twice with him, because just when we got like okay with him being gone across the country kind of thing, when we were living out west, like then he comes back. And so I think it was more of a reality when Shay went to LSU that, it's Sarah and I, and, you know, part of it was like, you're kind of, you kind of rediscover each other really, because you've been go, go, go for so many years. And then, you know, part of it was like, all right, well, let's have some fun. And so we've been able to travel a little more. We've been able to, you know, I got into renovating homes and doing all that. So we've done that for 5 or 6 properties, which has been a blast. Then we finally kind of ended up back where it all kind of started for us in Orlando. And it's been fun to be back.
Is it all bathrooms? How are you making your money flipping? Like, what's the key thing?
Well, the key is the entry price. Obviously, you got to get a deal.
Okay.
I literally do everything. I do everything except plumbing and electrical, because that has to be like legit certified. But no, I do flooring, I do cabinets, I do ceilings, I do trim, I do doors, I've done bathroom, showers, waterproofing, like everything.
Jeez. Are you always that handy, or is this new?
Well, I'll tell you what. So back to kind of the origin story. See, we're going full circle here, fellas. during COVID, so Reese was gone, and so we had moved into a place in San Diego where Shay was training with a tennis coach, and it was only a 2-bedroom place. So when Tech shut down and Reese came back home, we had a house in Oregon that we had bought that was kind of a fixer-upper, and we didn't have room for Reese in our like small condo. And so Reese and I spent COVID up in Oregon, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to watch YouTube and figure out how to do this. And so it literally started with tiling a laundry room floor, and then I'm like, well, let me try a bathroom. And so I did that, and then I learned how to waterproof showers and do all that. And then it turned into, well, I'm going to do the kitchen. And I ended up renovating the entire house. And, you know, like, you don't know how you're going to do, but then it ended up, you know, we got a significant number out of it after what we bought it for. And I'm like, well, this is a blast. Like, let's do this, you know? And so Sarah's knack is, like, finding the properties and the design. So she'll pick out the colors, the tile, the trim, the doors, and everything. And then I'm just the hack that throws it all together. And so we've done a few homes, full homes. We did a home in Atlanta. We did a condo down in Sarasota on the beach, and just kind of been doing that. And then, you know, once you start down that road and you start getting the tools, then it's like you got them, so you might as well use them, right?
Dang.
So should we be preparing ourselves? Because, by the way, I was just going to say, you're 51 years old, and you're not that far away from being a grandma and grandpa. But instead,
totally.
I guess I would say, should we be watching HGTV?
Bob Vila over there.
Vila.
No, that's a Frankie Winters joke. That
oh, is that right?
Yeah, Bob Vila.
Bobby Vila.
Yeah.
Are so, you going
like, to... I'm not Vanilla Ice yet, you know. He's Mr. Renovation nowadays. But we're trending that direction. But yeah, so between that and then I've actually for the last like 7 or 8 years I've been consulting colleges on kicking game stuff and special teams and all that. So I've kind of been dabbling in you know, staying in the kicking thing, staying in the golf thing, but also doing the home renovation thing. And meanwhile, you know, we're probably a couple years away, yeah, from being a grandpa and grandma. So it's kind of been exciting and kind of watching the world go by, you know.
All right. Well, before you have your own show on HGTV, which I presume will be presented by Applebee's, we need to have a conversation about the Packers kicking situation. Let's start here because one of my favorite headlines I've ever written when we weren't covering the blessed event of Tausch going into the Packers Hall of Fame was when I wrote about your entry into the Packers Hall of Fame. And I talked to Ron Wolf, and I think I called it the best $100 the Packers ever spent because that was the cost of a waiver claim to bring in their future all-time leading scorer after drafting a kicker in the third round. So let's start with your origin story. As much as I enjoyed the YouTube lessons that you learned during COVID renovating your Oregon house, for those people that aren't as old as Tausch and me, what is the Ryan Longwell origin story with the Packers so we can get into where they're at today?
Yeah, so the Packers, I sat through the draft. I didn't get drafted. The Packers were the only team that had drafted a kicker, and it was in the third round. So, you know, we talk about Trey Smack getting drafted in the sixth round. Well, Brett Conway was drafted in the third round. So that's like almost a guarantee that's your guy. They picked me up. The Niners had cut me. 24 hours later, the Packers had picked me up, and it was a $100 waiver claim. And I remember two things. Like I got to Green Bay, and I had known Brett at the NFL Combine. We'd gotten to know each other, and when I got to Green Bay, he had described his three different like kicking trajectories for different lengths, and I'm like, that's not going to work. Like I know that's not going to work, and I thought I had a chance when I heard that, and then I watched him kick, and I just thought like I have a chance because you know like I don't know mentally if he's the strong enough thing you know out there. But I think physically and ironically, as I've learned over the years, like you just cannot hit a high ball in Lambeau Field, period. You just can't do it. And so, you know, I was coming from California and I learned early on the windy practice fields, like I have control over this ball up until its apex, but on the way down, it's up to the gods. And so the idea is like, I want the apex to be lower. Like, I don't want to hit this high ball. And so I kind of taught myself pretty quick coming from the warm weather of California, how to like drive the ball, hit a lower cut. And you know, lo and behold, like, you know, I won the job. And so Brett struggled. I got a chance. I made all my kicks in preseason and you know, the rest is kind of history, but it was really that transition from kind of what we call home run derby, like swinging as hard as I can, the ball climbing super high, the ball hooking, you know, and wow, I didn't make it, but did you see how far it went? Like, that was kind of the mentality of most of, and it still is, by the way, of these kicking camps is, wow, did you see how far it went? And, well, the idea is get it between those yellow sticks at the end of the field.
So what was your mentality coming in? Because I spent some time with Lucas Haversick earlier this week, and I just thought it kind of reminded me of your approach, like this, I'm going to focus on me, but I think there's a chance here, because you know that the Packers want Trey Smack to be their kicker, and I'm not in any way saying that he won't be, and we'll get into kind of his struggles during the practices we've seen so far, but like, to be the other guy that, I mean, it, seriously, that's who you are. You're the other guy. It's Trey Smack and whoever the other guy is. It's Brett Conway, the guy they drafted in the third round to replace Chris Jackie, and the other guy, until the other guy turned out to be the guy. So what's the mentality got to be if Lucas Haversick wants to give himself a chance to have a chance?
Well, you just got to be so ready when your opportunity comes. And, you know, that can be in a practice. I didn't even kick the first three practices. Like, you know, Nolan Cromwell was a special teams coach back then. He's like, we got, you know, we got to get Brett ready to go, basically. And that was Conway, not far, but Conway. And so I didn't even kick a ball in the first three practices. And so when I got my chance, you know, I had to be ready. And then obviously, you know, he had struggled the first two preseason games. So we went out to Oakland and, you know, he'd kicked 1,000 balls that week. And then he pulls something, tweaks something in pregame, and Holmgren says, it's your game. And so that was my opportunity. If I go out and go 0-3, then, you know, we're not talking right now. And we're probably not renovating homes. But we, you know, we made them. And then all of a sudden, you know, next thing you know, I got back to Green Bay and, ooh, there's a kicking controversy, you know. And so it's just being ready for your opportunity. But I think the thing that's lost on a lot of these guys is you don't need to hit the home run. You need to hit 100 singles. And that's what gets you the job in the NFL. And I always tell, you know, kids when I'm working with them, like, we're building a skill set. The goal is not to make it in the NFL. The goal is to last when you get there. And to last when you get there, it's 1,000 singles. It's not 5 home runs and 20 strikeouts. Like, that gets you out of a job, whereas the 1,000 singles, man, you just bore people to death that, oh, he's going to make it, he's going to make it, he's going to make it. And before long, you look up and, you know, you're 15, 16 years into the league.
So, Ryan, when that was going on and you had the big preseason game and you came back, what, how do you handle that in the room with someone that obviously is a third-round pick that is more than likely thinking he's going to be the guy, and all of a sudden now there's doubt? You want that job. How do you handle that from your end, and how did Brett handle it from his end?
Yeah, it was, you know, I mean, you guys know me, so, like, I've always been a pretty, like, easygoing, nice guy, at, you know. And
on,
so,
the surface, like, yeah, was, on the surface,
yeah, on the surface. On the surface, yeah.
You a cold-blooded killer behind this, but yeah, I get you.
Yeah, totally. But like I was saying, like, you know, Brett and I were okay, but then, like, he would say, hey, do you want to go to lunch? And I, like, I've told this story before, but you want to go to lunch? And I get into his car, and his $290,000 signing bonus check was taped to the dash. So I'm like, you know, I mean, I got $3,000 to sign, right, for San Francisco. And so when I'm seeing a check for $290,000 by the guy that, you know, like, he was picked, but I think, like, I'm better than, like, I have a chance to beat this guy out. Like, it certainly motivates you to not just beat this guy, but to kind of put him away, you know? And so that was kind of my mentality, is now I got a foot in the door. Like, let's not open it back up, you know? And so, you know, we went to Madison and played the Giants, and then I ended up having 3 more field goals, and, you know, 2 of them were long ones. And, you know, I'd gone 6-for-6 in the preseason, and I kind of gave myself a chance to have a chance. And that's the whole thing, is, you know, you kind of make the routine kicks routinely, and that's what I had done, whereas he hadn't. And so once you get the opportunity, you got to shut the door. And, you know, thankfully, you know, I had done that, and I had built up enough goodwill that once I did miss in Philly, like, I had made 12 in a row before that. So it was kind of a track record, like, well, we think that's more of a rookie thing than a pattern, you know, so we can stick with him a little bit. So, yeah, I kind of had built in enough grace at that point to be able to withstand some of the challenges too.
Why did he have the check taped to his, did he cash it?
Yeah, great question.
What was, great was question, was he trying to intimidate you? Like, what do you think his mindset was? I don't understand it. You want that money earning interest so you can buy tile and
put it in the bank,
floors, exactly, and all the other stuff.
Exactly. I have no idea. It was one of the oddest things, but for me, you know, it was just like, all right, like, his mind is not in the right spot. You know, he's about the fluff and being a draft pick. I'm about getting in this job and keeping it, you know? And so, I thought it was just more indication that I did have a legit chance at this gig.
So, Ryan, all people are different people, and I don't know Trey Smack well enough to make any sort of comp to Brett Conway, and I don't know what he did with his signing bonus check, but he has been inconsistent, all right? So now we have seen him kick three times since the offseason program began. We saw him in an OTA practice. He went 5 for 9. We saw him in a practice earlier this week. He went 7 for 8. And then we saw him yesterday miss a 35-yard field goal at the end of a two-minute drill. We've only seen Lucas Havrasik kick once. It was inside the Hudson Center on Wednesday. He was 8 for 8. But I don't want to say this is apples to apples, because Lucas Havrasik was the guy who was here filling in for an injured Brandon McManus last year, broke the franchise record for the longest field goal with a 61-yarder in Arizona. So if Matt LaFleur says, you know who we need? We need that fixer-upper guy that I saw on HGTV to come in and fixer up our kicker. What would you tell Trey Smack? Because I will say one thing he said when they drafted him was that he said he got nervous before every kick. And he thinks that that's healthy. And I was like, I immediately thought of some of the things you had said about Brett Conway's mentality. And I was like, I don't know if I love hearing him say that if I'm the Packers. What would be your advice, and what has been kind of your observation from afar?
Well, yeah, I think you got to kind of go globally on this answer. And the reason I say that is you have to look historically, which I've done. I've taken a deep dive. I do know Trey. I did talk to him, you know, at length last weekend about the situation. You need to look at Chris Jackie, myself, and Mason Crosby. And what do we do, or did we do, versus Dave Rayner, Anders Carlson, and, you know, guys that have not made it in this place, including, like, Daniel Carlson, when the Vikings drafted him and he missed those three kicks in Lambeau and, you know, ended up getting cut, going to the Raiders. Now he's been great. Like, what's the difference? And the difference really is Jackie and myself and Mason all hit what you would call a lower cut, meaning the ball was not going left. The ball was going straight, or it would fall right. It would never, ever turn left. And so that was Chris Jackie. That's how way I kicked, and that's the way Mason kicked. When you look at Dave Rayner, which forced them to draft Mason, when you look at Anders, and when you look at Trey's college film, they all hit a very high hook, like a high, high ball. And so what that does in Lambeau Field is you look at, back to even Daniel Carlson, but you look at Anders, and what did he do? He hits the high, high ball, and it stays wide right, because it doesn't, at one end of the field, it hangs right on the high hook, and the other end of the field, it blows across the whole upright and goes left. And so the high hook in Lambeau has always been kryptonite. So what is that? I kind of hit a high hook in college. And so you have to be able to adjust and hit a lower cut to kick in that place, which ironically Brandon McManus did. Like, he was a lower cut. The ball would travel dead straight and what we would consider low, but obviously they're still not getting blocked. And so what I have told Trey, and what needs to happen, and like I've worked with this with college kickers forever, and the few NFL guys I've helped, including like Mason early on, the ball needs to be leaned more forward and away. You need to like cover the ball more. It's like a golf shot. You need to cover it to, you know, to get it so it doesn't move left. And you absolutely need to lower the trajectory. And you know, one of my biggest pet peeves of like the training of college kickers now and these high school kickers is the worst thing that ever happened is TrackMan, which they use in golf, is now in kicking. And so they talk about line of scrimmage height. Well, it's the biggest misnomer, because what a normal coach that doesn't know kicking is going to go look at is, oh, this guy's got great lift and he's kicking it so high. Well, remember what I said when we first started this conversation, like, we have control over the ball up into the apex. The gods and the winds have control over it on the way down. So if the apex is higher, does that hurt you in the Hudson Center? No. Does it hurt you in Tampa? Not usually. Does it hurt you in Lambeau and Soldier Field? Heck yeah. So we want that ball lower and not moving right to left. And so that is like the TrackMan lies to these kids, where if you watch Trey's college film, and especially in Gainesville, like a lot of his makes, a lot of his longer makes are starting out way high right and hooking back into the goalpost. Now, is he physically gifted? Yes. Is his head position great? Are his basics great? Yes. He needs to transition into being like an NFL kicker, which is, I always use the example of like Gary Anderson. Like there was nothing impressive about Gary Anderson except the ball went dead straight and through the yellow sticks. Like that's being an NFL kicker. And so that's where I go back to, we need to hit singles. We don't need to hit the home run. And the home run mentality is the high hook. And so if Matt LaFleur was calling or if the Packers were calling and Vanilla Ice wasn't available to help him and it was me, the renovator, helping him, then I would say, like, we need to like work on the hold and we need to work on him covering the ball. Is Trey capable of doing that? Absolutely. Absolutely he is. But this home run derby mentality and the trackman mentality and hitting the 60-yarder mentality, like you've got to get away from that mindset where we're swinging at 85% and we control the ball up into the apex. Like that's what we want.
So, Ryan, how many college kickers do that? Because you mentioned Lambeau, you have to kick a certain way. Wouldn't you, as evaluating kickers, wouldn't you want guys that have kicked it that way?
Well, this is nothing against any of the NFL squads, but you got to know what to look for. Mm-hmm. Most GMs, kicking coaches, special teams coaches, like scouts don't. Like, once again, like if I'm going to a driving range and I see a guy hitting wedges inside, you know, 3 feet to a pin, or I see a guy hitting a driver, you know, 400 yards, who am I going to gravitate to? I'm going to gravitate towards the driver. It's just more impressive. And so if you don't know what you're looking for, the dude that's hitting wedges inside 3 feet is going to beat the long driver every single time, 100 times out of 100. And so that's why I say, like, you have to know what you're looking for. You have to know what works in your place, or you have to be able to teach it and, like, transition from that mentality to the correct mentality to your place. Now, is that out there? Honestly, no, not in most NFL teams. I mean, you know, like Randy Brown in Baltimore, like he's very, very knowledgeable. But, you know, most people don't know what to look for. I think there's, in my opinion, there's one guy in college right now that's like, that is legit tailor-made for the NFL going into his senior year. I don't want to say his name because, like, I don't want to put pressure on him, but like he hits a dead straight ball. It's on balance. It's like effortless power versus powerless effort. So, like, I don't think there's a lot of them, but I think we get so enamored with the home run that we forget that we've got to make every single 33-yard PAT, and we've got to make that 35-yarder. And the practice fields in Green Bay are howling wind. Like, how do we control the ball in that howling wind? So, like, you have to know what to look for, and or you have to know how to teach it.
So how, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but so Trace Mack needs to change his approach both mentally and physically to be successful at Lambeau. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
I don't think he needs to change his approach. I think he needs to, like, tweak some controllables. Like, his rhythm doesn't need to change. His process doesn't need to change. His head position is ideal. I do think Trey was the best guy coming out of college this year. There's no question about it. So he's got a skill set. He was taught by Matt Stover, who kicked in the league forever. Like, he's got the basics down. What he needs to do is transition from driving range into, I got to get this around to these 18 holes. And so that is a different kind of approach. And that's where, like, it's not hard to switch how the ball is leaned with the hold. You just got to get used to it. And it's not hard to cover the ball and with a slightly deeper plant. You just got to get used to it. And so, like, there are ways to do it. Like, you know, I would challenge him, like, if I was there, like, let's work on, you know, middle to right half of the goalpost. Like, we don't want anything going through the left side, left half of the goalpost. Like, let's, like, really work on that ball, like, not going left, not turning left, not hooking. But we want to do that with it rotating 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock, because any wobble on the ball, any slant on the ball just magnifies the wind and the temperature. Whereas if we're rotating it properly, it cuts through the wind easier. So it requires less effort to get it going straighter. And so there's a couple of things that he does naturally that just need to, like, be tweaked a little bit. And, you know, it, on top of being a draft pick where there's a spotlight on you and the nerves and everything, you know, this is not, as we know, I mean, you guys are up there, like, this, Green Bay and Lambeau Field is not Gainesville, Florida. You know, it's just not. And so the college season ends where we have 6 to 8 weeks more of playing, and you have to be as good in those 6 to 8 weeks, those last 2 months of the season, as you are in August. And so that's where, you know, we're back to the goal is not to make it. The goal is to last. And to last is a different skill set than just showing off from 56 yards like we all did in college.
Talking with Ryan Longwell. Ryan, I know we need to let you go because you got to go pick up some spackle at the local home improvement store, but how did this conversation...
You'd be shocked at how many different spackles there are.
Some caulk. How did this conversation come about? Like, did you reach out, or did the Packers... Like, where did this come from?
You're talking about with Trey?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... ironically, so like I said, I've been consulting colleges, and there's a couple of colleges that will remain unnamed that kind of before you could do it, brought me in to try out kickers and who's the guy to go with. And so I actually worked out Trey back in the day when he was coming out of high school amongst other guys. And so I kind of got a feel for him back then. I followed his career because I thought he had a really good skill set. And then after he was drafted, you know, by the Pack, obviously, like there's a common bond. So I texted him again and kind of reached out, reconnected. And then we were at a charity event this weekend. And I said, you know, let's chat. And he was, you know, to his credit, he was an open book. He's like, I'm going to need you. I'm going to want your help. And I said, I started off by saying, like, listen, this is your gig. Like, I don't want to be any part of this. Like, I don't want to be anybody that's overbearing, but I'm willing to help in each and every way I possibly can if you want it. But like, I'm not gonna, you know, like I said, burden you with what has been. But I will tell you that there's some common denominators on the guys that have been successful, sure, not just in this league but in this place. And you know, it's kind of what I described earlier to you guys. And so he asked about it, like he understood about it, but like, you know, you kind of need eyes on you all the time while you're transitioning in this. And so that's the tough thing. You know, I do know Cam, you know, the new special teams coach. I have talked to him on the phone, you know, right after the draft. So not since we've done the OTAs, but kind of gave him, you know, some indications of what each end of Lambeau Field are like, you know, kicking like with winds and patterns and stuff. But he just needs... There's this catch 22 in the NFL of, oh, he's a pro, he can figure it out. But you would never do that to a quarterback. You would never do that to a receiver. Like, you want them to develop a specific skill set to be able, when they run the dig, like, they know exactly what the timing is. And so, you know, there's this island that the kickers are on that, you know, we kind of need a guy like Trey who's going into, quite frankly, one of the tougher places to kick. Like, you know, let's help him avoid the potholes that like I just discovered, you know, that Conway went through, that Anders went through, that Daniel Carlson went through, that Dave Rayner went through. Like, these guys that come out, you know, and there's, like I said, there's, you can watch film of those guys versus, you know, myself and Mason and Jackie. There's a distinct difference in ball flight. And to me, that's the golden ticket, but you have to be able to train it and teach it and have eyes on it to be like, nope, that's not the way. Let's do this, you know? And that's the tough part.
Well, and Cam Acord did name check you and Mason talking about, because the focus was, oh, this guy kicked in Gainesville. How's he going to kick in the cold? And so I'm so glad we caught up with you, because it's more about the wind than about the cold. Cold is a factor. Yeah. I get it. But, you know, he pointed out, here's a guy who grew up in Oregon, kicked at Cal, had success in Green Bay. Here's a guy who grew up in Texas, kicked at Colorado, had success in Green Bay. So it was interesting that he was well-versed in your career. All right, last thing so we can let you go. The one thing I don't want to be doing here is creating this panic, right? I understand that gets clicks and gets sound clipped on social media, but I'm not sitting here going, oh, it's Brett Conway 2.0. Here we go. Lucas Haversick time. He's the new Ryan Longwell. So put in perspective, now that you've talked to Trey, now that you've seen firsthand what can happen if you're taping your bonus check to your dashboard, to help us through, like, what should our concern level be if you're a Packers fan, and what do you expect this to be in terms of how plays out starting in training camp in July?
Well, so when you're evaluating kickers, when I'm evaluating kickers, like, I look at 3 reps, and that's all it takes. And the guys that have a chance to have a chance are
Chilly.
The ones
Chilly now.
That are the smoothest that hit it the furthest. The guys that are full max Q effort that hit it far, they're kind of capped out. Like, there's not a lot of like, room to grow. The reason that you want the smoothest hitting the furthest is under pressure, that tends to be a little more bulletproof than the guys that are max Q. And so that's a number one. And the second thing is head position. If to kind of make it really sound simple, if your chin goes to the chest, that is really a red flag under pressure. If your chin goes to your right shoulder when you're hitting the kicking the ball, that tends to be a lot more bulletproof under pressure. And so the reason I say both of those is, like, he has both of them. So he has the rhythm and he has the head position. So Trey has, like, the bones of a great kicking style. And so what we need to do is just tweak that to be more accommodating for Lambeau, which is going to actually be more accommodating for a really long career. So we're not reinventing the wheel, because he's got really good skill set that he's just naturally gifted with. And so this is not like a guy that doesn't know what he's doing. This is a guy that's very, very gifted and has 2 of the most important things to be successful in that league. And so I think it's getting used to, like, the pressure of the NFL, where practice kicks are just as important as game kicks. I think it's getting used to, you know, a new snap, a new hold, a new operation, everything. And quite frankly, there's more wind in Green Bay than there is, you know, in the SEC in Gainesville. And so, like, he'll, you know, sometimes you have to touch the stove to get burnt. Some guys keep touching it, and some guys realize, no, I'm not doing that anymore. And so you hope that he's the guy that is like, okay, that obviously is not going to work. I'm going to fix it. And so, you know, you have to build the skill set, but he's got the bones to be able to do it.
I didn't think we'd get as many Brad Childress
chance
to have Chilly a chance
references. Chilly had a big
references.
Impact on Ryan Longwell. I could tell just by the quotes that he's
didn't
throwing
pick
out.
Him up at the airport, though.
Yeah, exactly. No. Chilly was a quote machine.
He was. Clowns are funny
the
now.
Best, the best Chilly quote machine was, he would show up at 9:04 every morning to the 9 o'clock team meeting, and our best buddy Favre would be like, hey, coach, what time does that 9 o'clock meeting start? It was like... It would start off the day really, really good.
Opposite of Lombardi time. Yeah.
Chilly time.
Yep, totally.
Chilly Ryan, time. You're the best, man. This was so helpful and so insightful.
Ryan, do you want to – I mean, listen,
yeah,
you're a golfer.
Him?
You know, you're a golfing pro. You're a fixer-upper dude. Do you want to coach? Because, man, did you get into great detail.
Yeah, so, you know, like – it's a passion of mine to give back to what I was gifted to do. And I've like I said, the consulting thing has scratched that itch, if you will. I coached at Cal for a couple years full-time a few years ago. And I love it. I just like to see the guys succeed. And so the consulting thing has allowed me to help more people than just a room of people. But, like, to me, watching film over the years and just knowing what works and what doesn't, I've really taken an interest in just how dangerous the kicking camp thing has become to long-term development. And so what you've seen, not to get on a tangent, but what you've seen is, you know, in my era, it was Jason Hansen, David Akers, Robbie Gold, myself, Vinatieri, like John Carney, like all these guys that lasted 15, 17, 18. I mean, Vinatieri and Carney were 20 plus years, right? Mm-hmm. What you have seen lately with this home run derby mentality is there aren't a lot of guys that are lasting past their third year. And so why is that? Well, why is because they're swinging so hard, they either get hurt or they run out of energy because they're just, it's max Q and you can't do that for 6 straight months. Or because they're swinging so hard, when they get off, it is impossible to fix. And so they're out of a career. And so Like, you just need to look at it. Like, the goal is, once again, the goal is not to make it. The goal is to last when you get there. And there are, in my opinion, there are concrete things between the guys that last and the guys that don't. And there are concrete things between the guys that make it and the guys that never get out of college. And I just don't think there's enough people that know that. And that's my biggest issue, and that's why I got involved. And that's why there's a part of me that would love to coach, because – like, I think it would be very fun to develop these superstars. And, you know, like, quite frankly, I've done it in the college level where these guys are, like, separating themselves pretty obviously. And it's just, it's these few things that, to me, stick out like a sore thumb. And, you know, most of them, it's not the sexy thing to say. Like, we don't want to hit the 65-yarder. We want to hit the 38-yarder perfect every time. But, you know, that's how you get a job, and that's how you keep a job forever.
On behalf of Packers fans everywhere, thank you for your input to Trace Mack directly. I'm sure that fans heard that and thought, well, I think we got a pretty good guy helping him out. But more importantly, thanks to you from us for making us smarter. And it's always great to have an excuse to reach out to you. I'm sorry that Trace struggled a little bit that prompted this call, but man, you are welcome here anytime if you can fit us in between all the other great things you've got going on, Ryan.
Well, as long as there's no tile saw in the background, I'm more than willing to chat with you.
No, we'll take tile saws. We'll take a tile saw. There's no, that's no big deal.
Yep. Ryan, thanks, buddy. We'll catch up with you again down the road.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
That is Ryan Longwell, longtime Packers kicker.
I'll tell you what, man. I'm worried about Jesse. He is already – he's spiraling. Or as the kids say, crashing out. He's crashing. I don't know if our fans feel the same way, but he is. He's glazy-eyed and crashing after listening to Ryan Longwell.